Plenty of people wanting to have their say. 131 873 with you in just a moment, but first time for this.
And now on the Chris Smith Show, telling it like it is with Andrew Bolt.
Well, Andrew, haven't you been making some headlines this week?
Mate, please. I try to play it calm and collected and cool. I don't try to make any waves. I'm polite to everyone. How could I possibly be making headlines?
Well, I'm sure everybody knows what we're talking about. Let's move on to more important things. Now, you've had a bit to say in the paper today, and we've finally seen a bit of gusto from the Prime Minister in question time yesterday, which I was just referring to with the listeners. But you think it's a case of too little, too late?
I do think it's a too little, too late. I think that the Prime Minister slagging off Bill Shorten like that was great for his morale. It was cheering for his backbench. I think some avid coalition supporters who heard it would have been great, but it would have been would have loved it. But I'd say focus on those words that would have heard it. I think we cannot, as political insiders, get carried away with the idea that what we notice is what most Australians notice. Most Australians would not have seen the speech in full, which they needed to do to get the full volume, the full effect of it. One grab wouldn't do much. You needed a whole tirade. Not many people would have done that. That's one. Second, not everyone would have agreed with it. Some would have thought it's not very prime ministerial to be slagging off your opponents like that. Some would have thought it's a bit hypocritical for the Prime Minister to be playing the class war card against Bill Shorten when he himself is so very rich, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of things to be said about that, you know, to say, wait a minute, take stock. Because I remember when Julia Gillard did that huge slag off at Tony Abbott, once again, the insider class thought, oh, that's very damaging, you know, the misogynist thing. Oh, he's a misogynist, blah, blah, blah. Most Australians didn't see it. And a lot of Australians would have, if they had seen it, would have thought, well, I hate them both. You know, pox on both their houses. And that ultimately is the real problem in Australian politics. A lot of voters, increasingly, a third now, don't like either and are looking for alternatives. Don't want Labor, don't want Liberal. And that's the real problem now.
It was interesting watching on with the front benches and even the back benches who were beside themselves, mainly the Deputy Prime Minister, Barnaby Joyce.
Loved
and as Ray Hadley said a little bit earlier, it looked like he'd wet himself. He was that excited in the chamber yesterday. Is this, though, what Malcolm Turnbull needed to do to get some life back into the party? Because there's been a lot of criticism from different sections of the media and the voters as well. Has this given the party a bit of a bit of life?
Look, it would have. Put it like this. There's a lot of Liberals that don't even want to think about having to replace their leader again, right? Because that is going to be very difficult, very bloody, no obvious alternatives in their view, and comes with big transactional costs. Like a lot of people will just say, look, we're sick of a lot of them. So there's that. So up goes the Prime Minister, gives this rip-roaring speech, tears into Bill Shorten, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of them have thought, thank heavens, he might be able to turn around. Let's give him even more time. And I think that's the critical element here. There would be a number of Liberals who would have thought, oh, look, maybe he can do it. So let's not jump to, you know, too hasty action now. I think that is the real effect of this speech.
Well, you rightly point out in the paper today, if Malcolm Turnbull is to be ousted as the Liberal leader, who is waiting in the wings to take over? There just doesn't seem to be a standout candidate, as you point out in the paper today.
That's correct. And I think one of the keys will be that will the Liberals learn the right lesson from what they did by jumping in Malcolm Turnbull? And the right lesson, in my view, is you can't have a guy of the left or a woman of the left selling policies of a party that's actually to the right. It just doesn't, it's a very awkward fit. And that's really hurt Turnbull, apart from his obvious failings, which is communications, lack of empathy, no people skills, all that kind of stuff. But the ideological problems are those. So I would have thought that rules out Julie Bishop. Not necessarily that she's a woman of the left. I think she's a whateverist. Whatever's going on, she's for it. You know,
and
whatever's popular.
She lost a lot of supporters too with the knifing of Tony Abbott because a lot of people saw her for her true colours, so to speak.
Yeah, it's just the loyal deputy that doesn't seem to have been particularly loyal to anybody.
Correct.
You know, whether it was Malcolm Turnbull first up or Ben Nelson and Tony Abbott, obviously. She betrayed him really amazingly, incredibly. You know, absolute bastardry. And now, of course, in the defence of Malcolm Turnbull, she's been almost absolutely silent, and she's supposedly the deputy Liberal leader. Where is she? It was incredible. So, yeah, there is that. A lot of her colleagues don't. But the more thing, the more, while she's popular in the polls, and that would be a big calling card, a lot of people seem to like her. She hasn't been tested. Foreign affairs is a very easy portfolio. You just go there to some foreign country, hand out some donation, and everyone loves you, and then you turn up to G'day LA or some fashion thing, and you get in the women's mags, and that's pretty good. But but basically, when it comes to the hard crunch, she's not there. I mean, have a look. You know, just when our... The Prime Minister's relationship with our biggest ally, now led by Donald Trump, goes down the toilet. Where was Bishop? Nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. So this is the problem. I don't think she's actually very good in the hard yakka. And you saw that when she was the opposition's Treasury spokesman. Scott Morrison, I think, has lost a little bit of his mojo. Lost a bit of trust. There's Tony Abbott, who's not popular, but has done it before and is absolutely formidable in fighting Labor. He's proved that in two election campaigns. And then there's Peter Dutton, who's a Conservative, so that's a tick, and has been very steady, but probably doesn't actually excite people yet, and low brand recognition. But he's done well in immigration. He didn't do so well as a health minister, though. So... you can see why people would be thinking, which?
Yeah. Well, how long do you give Malcolm Turnbull? A lot of emails that are starting to filter through think that he won't even make Easter, let alone Christmas. What do you think?
There's a lot of chatter about him not lasting the year. I would have thought he's in a real strife now. The one wild card here is the budget. Whoever comes and replaces him would have until May to develop a new budget from scratch. And that is just so difficult. So it may well be that it's better to leave it till after May and then strike, very soon after. That also gives him Turnbull a chance to see whether he can reset. But these things are wild and unpredictable. They're wildfires. You do not know. A change in the wind and everything's on, So we don't know. But if I had to guess... then I think it'll probably be in May that it'll become obvious whether or not Turnbull can ever recover. I don't think he can, but, there are a lot of people hoping and praying, and give him a budget, give him a week or two to sell it. Let's see.
All right. Interesting times ahead. Andrew Bolt, thanks so much for your time, as always, on The Chris Smith Show on a Thursday. We'll talk to you soon.
It's a real pleasure, mate. See you later.
Thanks.